Welcome to the podcast. I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And I'm designer Dave Say.
And welcome to this lovely, it's January.
It's January.
Last time we did one of these was
like 10 weeks ago.
November, and suddenly we're in January. We've gone through Christmas and Thanksgiving and power outages and all kinds of exciting things.
That's right.
But here we are on Monday, January 12th, 2015.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
You know what 2015 is?
What?
It's the year of the ram in the Chinese zodiac.
So what does that mean?
It's my year. I was born in the year of the ram.
So
that's very important.
So what does that mean? Tell me what is...
I don't remember. I just know it's my year. And so the Chinese zodiac is... There's 12 animals, and you've probably seen it like in USA Today when they mention it.
I see it every time we go out for Chinese food, because that's what the placemats
are. That's right. That's right. And so like each of the animals has its own set of personality characteristics, but... This is my year, and I think good things are supposed to happen. I should probably
look it up. Luck and money and women and all kinds of stuff.
I could use all that
stuff.
There
we go.
Not to objectify women, of course, because that's bad.
Yes.
To meet some wonderful, intelligent women who have things to say.
Mm-hmm.
Things are on their mind.
Yes.
So, yeah. So it's been a while. So
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Are you glad 2014's over?
Yes and no. It seemed like the last 6 weeks of 2014 were just a blur. Everything just decided to happen all of that last, push.
Oh yeah. You're like what?
So just jobs and stuff. I've had probably my largest job I've ever had.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
All thanks to my wife, who's become sort of my part-time business manager, and she's been making connections.
Yep.
It led to this big job down in Boston for a real estate company that's completely redoing their stuff. So this design company out of Wyndham 36 Creative, they hired me to come in and do headshots and environmental stuff and just all kinds of stuff. So unfortunately, it's the website's not going to be up for another 7 months or something like that. So I have to sit on everything, and I can't show anything until everything is. But it was it was amazing. It was, our good friend, our good friend, Jeff.
Jeff Bukowski.
Jeff, who's actually sitting right to my left right now.
Being very
quiet. He helped me out, and he was awesome. And even though he doesn't think that he did a lot on that job, just that I knew that he was there was a calming effect for me.
Jeff is one of the most capable people I know. You were really lucky to get him.
I was. I totally was.
Yeah.
Totally good at getting water.
Yes.
if the whole building had started to come down due to raining locusts, Jeff would have had a plan.
Yeah.
He would have said, those locusts are falling from the sky. We should probably not get hit by them. Let's move all the equipment into the house. I'll start with this box, and I'll go in there, and then we'll figure out what the next step is.
Is that your Jeff impersonation?
Kind of. It's not very good. We haven't worked together in a long time. But I remember when we did. He was 20-something. I don't remember.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was but he just has a gravity to him and an analytical mind, and he also loves creativity.
Yes,
he's a good friend of ours.
I am very glad that you introduced me to him, because
I expect my royalty check anytime.
I'll be paying that off for forever.
Yeah,
and so it was just a crazy, just jobs coming in, and it was just crazy.
Yeah,
not crazy because I had jobs, oh my god, I finally have a job.
What did I do over the weekend, over the break?
With all your Christmas toys.
I did.
And your family came and visited?
Family came. That's what it was. We were just, eating all the time.
Because Christmas shuts everything down.
We had the big Taiwanese pork chop blowout, the second annual one. It was amazing.
I heard Kenta Koga was there.
Kenta Koga.
Kenta Koga. Kenta Koga.
He liked it.
Kenta Koga.
Or at least he didn't hate it. I assume he liked it. He said he liked it, and I assume when he says something, he means it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was all the Taiwanese people in Nashville in your house?
No. Well, I guess so, except for Sabina Chen, who's not related to me, but is also Taiwanese, and I keep thinking she is related to me. She couldn't make it. She's very pregnant at the moment.
Oh.
So we'll have to make pork chops for her later.
A little pork bun.
But my
sister,
it was over for the break, and it was on the 29th, the Sunday after Christmas. And then my friend Duncan, who right? Duncan came from Salem, Massachusetts, and he's Taiwanese.
Yep.
And, we made that. And Alan came up, too, and he's Taiwanese. So there was it was three different Taiwanese lines of this. And then we had one Japanese guy, and then Teresa Santoski also dropped by, and she said it was good. Politely, I assume she meant it was good. But it was good. I enjoyed it. We had all these different snacks. it was fantastic, a fantastic way to ring in the year.
Now, did you have that stuff that we had at our last business summit meeting, the fried the things that you shake and bake?
No, it wasn't shake and bake. This was the real thing.
Oh,
this is,
okay.
The chicken
so you didn't,
is,
what we ate, you didn't have at the thing. This
no,
was like
no,
real,
no, 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 no. Okay. It requires deep frying, and every time I deep fry in my house, I don't have, you know, I live in a condo, so I don't have a big exhaust hood.
Oh, yeah.
So the oil just like hangs in the air, yeah. And, just, and it smells, and it drives me nuts, which is why I usually like to make these things when it's warmer out, because then I can put the deep fat fryer outside.
Yep.
And that's what he actually did for this cooking thing.
Oh.
But, you know, whatever. So when it gets warmer out, or the next time I'm doing it, you'll have to try the real
thing. Yeah, you should have a summer and a winter one.
Yeah, yeah. So there's pictures. I'll see if I can put some up on the website so
yeah.
People can see what these look like. But they are pretty good. Yeah.
Good.
I also turned 47 on the end of the year.
47?
47. That's like... that's when you're 45, you know, you can sort of round up or down. You're in the middle. 46,
yeah.
You know, you should be rounding up, but it still feels close to 45, so you don't really feel you really have to. 47. 47 is, like, clearly trending toward 50.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like...
the big 5-0.
Yeah, it's like... It feels like it's like you're preparing for something, or there's a big exam coming up, and it's like a couple days before.
Yeah.
Is that feeling?
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Well, although, you know, 50 might be cool. 50 is like the new 40, which is the new 30, right? So that
is that. I don't know. I'm turning 40 in April, so.
You are?
Yeah.
We should have a party.
And I don't understand how that's possible, because I don't feel like I'm 40. Like, I still feel like I'm like 12. Especially when you look at all the junk I have around here.
That's because we
I don't
live
get
in a
it.
Time of constant change.
Yes.
And we have to change every year.
Yes. And I'd also like to blame, like, Arrested Development, because somewhere along the line that happened, and it's clear that, you know.
The show Arrested Development?
No, me. Like, just some sort of Arrested Development in my brain as far as probably just, like, being a kid and
I
not.
I guess you do have some Michael Cera-like qualities.
What are you talking about?
I need to rewatch that movie again.
No, you don't. Scott Pilgrim?
Yeah,
no,
that's my favorite
don't.
Movie.
No, it's not.
It is.
Stop.
It's great.
Oh.
That's how I feel.
Oh.
It's a great movie.
Oh.
Jeff has no idea what we're talking about.
Just, at least maybe the graphic novel I could see, but he's such a jerk in that movie. He's a jerk.
No, it's not, I don't want to watch the movie for Michael Cera. I want to watch the movie because I like the movie.
Because
it's awesome.
Okay.
It's yeah. Yes. We'll explain this to you later, Jeff. It's pretty cool.
It's all video game stuff.
Yeah.
It's
pop culture, pop culture, pop. It might explain some of the pop culture, pop culture, pop culture part of things. But anyway, so what are we going to talk about? We have a 45-minute podcast today because it's been a while since.
Yes, we need to catch up.
We are at minute 8. And the remaining listeners who are still with us will now be treated to...
We have 25% of them in our studio right now. Just wanted to point that out.
That's
so.
True. Yeah.
To the remaining three.
Yeah. I think this is the first time we've had a studio audience. Before, we've usually been able to cajole them into actually having a microphone.
I think he's getting a feel for how this works.
He's getting a feel for how this works.
He can do the next one with us.
Yeah. And there's no editing in this podcast because it takes too long. Yeah. So we just try to speak clearly.
Because it
we
takes too
try
long.
Not to swear. Because if Sid says something that I have to edit out because of the rating we have in iTunes, I had to take that out. Otherwise, like, if someone reports it, you know, then they pull the podcast.
We get in trouble.
Yeah, we get in trouble.
But then we'd be known as, like, the dudes that got pulled out.
No,
like, we were so...
Out. You just get pulled.
Damn.
It's not like, you know, the EFF gets on Apple's case and it says, like, you can't silence these men. So, okay, I'm just going to go. We have our show notes. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go down the list of media six. And, we could do this like Crossfire. Big Hero 6, opinion.
Awesome.
Was awesome.
It was very
Bought
good.
The art book.
Oh, did you?
Beautiful movie.
We had commented when it came out that I couldn't believe... I had thought it was a Pixar movie, which you corrected me that it wasn't.
No,
actually,
yeah,
this was
exactly.
The relaunch of Disney's animation department.
Yeah, there's an excellent article in Wired that describes the transformation of Disney Animation Studios once John Lasseter and the Pixar crew... Well, John Lasseter now is the chief creative officer of Disney, and he's been since 2006. And so imagine a beautiful dog... You know, lovely, wonderful dog that's just been whipped by its suit-wearing masters for the past 20 years. Make more animation, raise profits at the box office. You're doing it wrong. I'm going to hit you until you do it right. that was Disney Animation Studios, you know, after a long decline, you know, from, I would say, the 90s. There was that sort of resurgence of Disney Animation starting with The Little Mermaid and ending probably a little bit before Tarzan. Tarzan maybe was the last one that kind of had a, still a little bit of that, I think, that sheen that started with Beauty and the Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King. You know, so like they were, and then after that, they just start putting me out like crap.
Right.
You know, Treasure Planet. Did you see that?
No.
Is that? Right. And Brother Bear.
No. Nope.
Didn't see it.
Yeah, that's weird. There's a whole series line, like a whole period
and
of time.
Yeah, and so Big Hero 6 is out of Disney Animation Studios, like with John Lasseter's, you know, he fired all the suits who didn't have anything to do with animation. And then he had to rebuild the trust. They had apparently some sort of warring animation studio director system in place. Like, is your movie better than that person's? And that person's movie's going to make it, and you can go take a hike or something like that. You know, really competitive and really young. Yeah. So, Tangled was the first Disney movie that you started to see, like, hey, that was surprisingly good for a Disney movie, huh?
Yeah.
And then what was after that? Frozen.
Oh, God, Even Jeff has seen it. You've seen it, right?
You've seen it? Can you sing the songs?
Riley's wanted to see it like 100,000 times.
Yes.
Oh, no, really?
You could sing all the songs.
I want to come over and see it because I want to see it with an actual kid and see this. Okay, excellent. So, like,
you're invited.
So, play date for Dave.
Frozen night.
Frozen night.
Do it.
And then after Frozen was Big Hero 6, and so you can see, you know. Anyway, it's
the progression.
Yeah, it's a story in Big Hero 6. The story isn't anything that will blow your mind conceptually.
No.
But it's just really well told.
The tropes are all there.
Yeah, it's really well told.
The way it's delivered. And, you know, Sarah went and saw it with us, and she was happy that you actually had female characters that were, like, scientists and intelligent and, like, you know, they were, like, role models as opposed to just being fluff.
Yep. Passes the Bechdel test.
So it was very good.
Yep, yep. Yes. So let's see. Star Wars trailer.
Didn't you say you had like a get off my lawn moment with the whole Star Wars trailer thing? Because you were talking about the lightsaber, and we would discuss this previously. And I was saying one of the things about the lightsaber scene in particular was because it looks weird and it has like it's not the same like effect that a lightsaber has in the movies.
That wasn't my issue.
It was all kind of broken up. So I thought maybe whoever this person was in the movie had just built it. Like maybe he's not really familiar with this stuff. And so that was why.
There's much theorizing has gone on the interwebs.
Of course.
About
Star Wars
the ridiculous
internet
design
like,
of this cross-hilted lightsaber. I just thought it was dumb. So like, you're watching this trailer like, oh, Star Wars, and you're kind of happy about it, but scenes are all really fast and shiny.
Mm-hmm.
Not like kind of brown and dusty like your memory of Star Wars is.
Right.
And then like at the end, dramatic scene and then with the big blink and then these two little side blink
they pop out of the
and they're going what is that it just made me like it made me old man angry.
Yeah, but then they showed the scene with the X-Wings flying across the water and it was all everything was forgiven.
They were spinning an awful lot. Made me dizzy. Didn't like it.
Stop. No, I'm excited.
Okay.
And it's J.J. Abrams and I've learned to love J.J. Abrams so.
I don't know why.
Why? It's Super 8. That's why I love it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because that was a genius movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so I'm
excited.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm more excited for this than I was for the prequels.
Yeah, you must have been a little bit excited just to see new Star Wars.
I was excited when Episode 1 was about to come out.
Before
it was,
we knew anything
before,
about
exactly, before
it.
We knew about Jar Jar Binks and all that stupid
stuff.
Right,
it's like, what is that?
But it was like, yes.
Yes, we are men in our 40s.
Yes. We grew up with this stuff. That's
true.
That's,
like,
you know,
we haven't outgrown it.
No, never.
This is why I went into video games and you learned how to do media stuff because I wanted to make stuff that was cool.
Yes. You know? I wonder if we're the first generation that is grown up around this creative fantasy science fiction-y. Like, I'm sure maybe the previous generation with Tolkien and that kind of stuff. But this is the first time where we're so saturated with creativity and science fiction and just everything it can be realized now. I wonder if we're really the first generation. I mean, it's you look at me and our friend Ian Muir and stuff. Like, we're all in our 40s, but we've got this passion for...
Ian Muir's not in his 40s.
He's not?
He's 30.
Is he?
Yeah. He's 10 years younger than you are.
Oh, I didn't know
He just turned 30 a year ago or something.
Oh, everybody's so much younger than I am.
I know.
I always think Jeff is a lot older than he is.
Jeff has an old soul.
Because he, yes.
Yeah.
Because he's mm-hmm. very smart, and it just seems like he's got all his Shiite together.
See, now you wish you had a microphone. So you disavow all these things they're saying about you while you're in the room. Yeah. Ha! Let that be a lesson to you.
So I was happy with it. And then we went and saw our... where's my little list here? We went and saw the third Hunger Games movie, Mockingjay Part 1. So this is the first half of the last book, which is being turned into a movie.
Yep, yep.
What were your thoughts?
My thoughts were I was kind of bored, but I was also thinking that this was the necessary lull before action. So I was willing to give it a chance until the next one came out.
So would this be sort of the Harry Potter movies were kind of the last Harry Potter movie, because they just split the last book into two.
Oh, I don't.
And that was kind of the same thing. Probably, like there was, they were more on the run the first one, and then the action was the second one. I was not impressed.
Yeah,
I was like, cinematically, from the beginning, it just had a weird. It just seemed like it was not finding its pace very well.
There were several, I think, thematic things going on. Yeah, so like the one is like, well, Katniss dealing with her PTSD stuff. Yep. There's all these dreams that she has, and she's worried about stuff. And then she's supposed to be the savior or the figurehead for the revolution.
Yeah,
you know. Then you know, there's what's the president of Pan Am doing,
right.
And what's the rebels doing, and like how does her hair stay up like that? And you know, is that really a cool outfit? I don't think so.
Hair braid.
Yeah, and then what's this deal with her between like, you know, brooding dark haired dude and like funny headed
terrible love triangle.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff that's going on and just flitting back and forth between it, trying to tell this story of something.
Yeah.
And it just ends up being kind of it's like too many choices. It's like you get to choose between six flavors of chocolate ice cream.
Right.
You know, and go,
I have to confess, when I got back, I actually looked up the second half. Just to see.
You looked it up?
What do you mean? Did. I spoilerized it for myself. I wanted. I went to Wikipedia and I looked up the last. And I'm not even going to go see the next one in the theater. I think we're just going to wait till to video.
Really?
Yeah. It's
awesome.
No, just from the general book outline, like it just seems it's just bad.
Really?
There's stuff they do with the love triangle where she just does this one thing that doesn't make any sense for one of the characters.
Oh, I'm already upset.
Just so that you don't like him anymore, so that it's obvious she's going to go, you know, it's just like, oh, come on, really? No.
Yeah.
So it was kind of Another big for me was the last Hobbit movie, The Battle of the Five Armies.
Oh, yeah, it was the very last one?
They took The Hobbit, which I guess was a short book.
Yep.
And they split it into three movies.
Yep.
So they added all kinds of extra content and stuff. And like I love the Lord of the Rings stuff. Yep. I love Peter Jackson's visuals, and I love that we can keep going back to the Middle Earth and everything.
Yep.
But this movie in particular was the perfect example of there was too much fat that could have been trimmed, which was probably all this extra stuff he added to flesh these films out. But then I'm like, maybe it really wasn't him. You know, like one of the things that was terrible was just throughout the whole three movie series was just how many times they referenced Lord of the Rings, like how many times they had to try to set stuff up. And it's like, you don't have to set all this stuff up.
Yeah.
You know, and then they brought in a character from the Lord of the Rings books and dropped him into The Hobbit just so that they could tie it all together even better. And it's like, why even do that? But this particular movie, there was a couple of things that made me sad. One, it literally felt like they just took an extended fight sequence from like a previous movie and they just sort of dropped it in the theaters. And it was like, come watch this giant deleted scene. it was weird. And then the thing that really made me upset was the main character, which is Bilbo Baggins, the Hobbit, was hardly in this movie. Like it was a 45-minute battle.
Ugh.
And then there was stuff at the beginning. And then the wrap up was so fast.
Yeah.
There was, you know, like just like people left the battle just because they felt like leaving and they didn't really expand it. And then when you got to the end of the battle, suddenly he was just back in Hobbiton. Like they just skipped that whole sort of like what happened to these people that died? What happened to this? What happened to all this kind of stuff? It was really, really weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
And it just, the whole thing just felt off. Like the whole three movies just felt like off.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's not so much Peter Jackson, but in order for these movies to exist, like, it was a combination of New Line Cinema plus Warner Brothers, like all these big movie theaters who had licensing and rights and stuff, like all worked together. So I'm wondering, like, how many people had input? you know, like, was it just Peter Jackson just kind of sitting there and all these people were like, no, you have to have three movies and we have to tie all this stuff in together and you have to create female characters so that girls will come to the theater and you have to have. So I wonder if it's, I mean,
I don't think Peter, I don't, not knowing Peter Jackson, but see, he's successful enough that I think he would have said no.
But
you know, then George Lucas was in that position.
It just
too,
felt, yeah, because it felt way beyond him. And the other thing that kind of wrecked it was just, it was all CG. Yeah. Like, the great thing about Lord of the Rings was it was a lot of it was live action and it was all realistic sets. And like, Peter Jackson's big on what he calls bigatures, which are models, but they're giant models so that you can get the cameras in nice and close. And this was all computer generated. Even like, even main characters were computer generated, like more than Gollum, like the whole movie. They were, you know, like, it was just weird. It was just, it just felt off. And I just, like, I thought that was kind of a bad, like a sad way to end this sort of grand universe by all this kind of stuff.
I didn't see the any of the Hobbit movies. I just wasn't interested.
I mean, they're good. It's more kid. I mean, the book is more kid oriented, so the films kind of feel more kid oriented.
Oh, is that? Yeah.
But it was just the whole, it just felt weird. The whole thing felt
pacing,
weird.
Pacing is a weird thing, too. Like, I find that if I'm not in the mood for a movie, then the pacing, it might be really well paced, but I can't pick up on it. I was noticing the other day, I picked up, what was it? I picked up the last season of Community, the TV show.
Yep.
Season 5.
Yep.
And I remember when I was watching it on air, like, I didn't really think it was that good.
Uh-huh.
But then I was rewatching season 5 on DVD. I said, like, this is much better pace than I remember. And then one thing that I am thinking is, like, it might be because when I was watching it on air, I was waiting for the commercials to end, and I was missing the very beginning of the segments. And I was constantly being distracted, you know, by the little showrunners that they keep running on the earth. When you're watching them on the road, then all of a sudden, like, the arcs are much tighter.
Yeah.
And I think just missing the first 5 or 10 seconds of each setup
can throw it off.
And even just kind of having been blasted with, like, detergent commercials before that. It just keeps knocking you out of the space. It's actually pretty good. The pacing, like, I thought it was too fast when I was watching it on the on TV. When it was being live broadcast.
Yep.
But then watching it, like, just kind of when I'm concentrating on it, I was much better able to deal with it.
Yep.
And then there's, like, just, I don't know. Pacing's been interesting to me lately, especially editing rhythms. Hmm. I've been watching those, what's that guy's name? Every frame painting.
Yep.
breakdowns of different films. It makes me want to make movies or try to make scenes and things like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, try to. Yeah, how do you lock into a feeling? How do you lock into a scene?
You know,
like that. Yeah, that David Fincher one they do is describing just a setup of, like, three guys sitting in an office, having a conversation, and how the positions of the camera set up the authority, and it was like they were mirroring the flow of the conversation and the shifts of power. Or relationships between those three men that were talking about this crime case.
Yep.
I guess that was from 7, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I said, like, I had no idea that was going on. I need to study this stuff. I need to know more. But anyway.
Good. What else?
Let's see. We can talk about the Christmas presents we got each other. I gave Sid a copy of Video Game High School Seasons 1 and 2 on Blu-ray because I knew he was never going to watch it on YouTube. Yep. Which is, it's a series, it's one of those guilty pleasure series that I like. It's like when you like the A-Team or you watched Silk Stockings in like movies or something like that. Or Heart to Heart. It's like that level of kind of shamefulness. I loved Heart to Heart. Oh. You know? Let's see. The premise of it is like this video gamer who's playing a first-person shooter game, you know, with his squad mates. He accidentally, like, you scores like this huge, like, win over a internationally top-ranked first-person shooter player, which it's like a huge upset and gets him all this news and media attention. And because of this, he is invited to attend the prestigious video game high school where you learn how to play video games really, really well. It's like, so in this fantasy, well, this alternative reality, let's say. And what I liked about it is that it's about... Actually, Kenta Koga turned me on to the series.
Oh, really?
What I liked about the series was how it would take the video game genres, like fighting games, racing games,
first-person
shooter games, and it would actually film them as like real camera footage. So like
either
the game technology was such that it would you would project yourself into this, or that was just their way of telling it, of showing them playing the games, like inhabiting the characters.
Yeah.
And it was actually kind of fun. And there's all these like your cheesy like love triangle things going on. It's but it's fun to watch.
Yeah, if you're into games, it's a good little thing to kind of watch.
And I'm sure Sid got every reference that was made in it, pretty much. And then anyone else watching this is, why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? But that was that.
Yeah.
So, Merry Christmas, Sid.
Merry Christmas. I know. Yes. What did you get? Did you start playing your South Park game?
Sid got me the Stick of Truth, the South Park role-playing
game.
it's like a Japanese role-playing game style RPG. That's kind of what it reminded me of.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks just like the cartoon, and it's completely voiced. But it's also a role-playing game, so it is a huge time commitment.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the faster-playing ones, but it's still like 40 hours of play. Oh. And so I played a little bit of it, and it's pretty funny.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so in the beginning, like, you're the new kid that arrives in Southwest. So you're literally called new kid all the time. Although Cartoon just calls you douchebag all the time. When you name your character, it goes through this whole... What was that? It goes through this whole sequence of you choosing your name, and then Cartman, like, you know,
just completely throws
you aside. Just throws you aside. Just tells you. So it's well done. That's fun.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Let's see.
Other exciting things. So Hold Fast Gear, the awesome place that makes those leather camera straps that I have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They put me on their artist spotlight page on their website. So that was kind of exciting.
Artist spotlight, nice.
Yes. So when you go to their artist spotlight thing, there's a little picture of me with my name. You click on it, and it has some, you know, they had me fill out a little thing. And so that was kind of cool.
Did he pose for a picture or something?
I did a little self-portrait here in the studio.
Thumbs in the straps.
Yeah, look at me. And so that was kind of exciting, and we've developed a little tiny bit of a relationship.
That's great.
So that's kind of nice.
Support the products you love.
Yes, support the products you love.
That's what it should be.
And then our friend Gary Constantine, who's a scooter aficionado for Lambretta scooters, he's been working on these mod rods where he's been customizing.
Things are crazy.
He fabricates the trims and stuff like from his own molds, right?
Yeah, he's a very accomplished sculptor and artist. So what he does is he designs, I've never seen him take one from the beginning, but let's say there's a handle that holds the side panel on.
Yep.
He'll make that look like a cool rocket ship.
Yeah,
instead.
He'll customize all this stuff.
And so like one of the builds, the green one, I forget which one that is.
The newest one?
The newest one. Yep. It's like you look at it like at first like, oh, that looks like a nice restoration job, nice paint and stuff like this. And then you look a little closer and there's all these custom details all over the thing. Every single thing.
And he did all this stuff, like he just made all this stuff like to customize.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So he unveiled it. There was a magazine in the United Kingdom, Scootering. And they wanted to sort of be the first person to focus, to showcase this scooter and stuff. So we met, you and me and Gary, we met and we took some photos. It was the coldest day of 2014. And we did a bunch of photos and stuff that we sent off to the magazine. So that magazine came out right before Christmas.
Yeah.
So we got to see it in print. I think Gary was pretty happy with the stuff.
Yeah,
I haven't seen the actual copy yet. I know he's trying to get some copies.
Yeah, we should go visit him for lunch or sometime.
Yeah, yeah.
It was interesting. Like on a side note, like I guess I was helped drive scooters. I drove the truck, I guess, because Gary had to drive the scooters from his house to the place where we were shooting.
Yeah,
I didn't have to hold anything, which was probably good because it was just freezing. But it was because I'll see you do your thing, and I've seen you do your thing before. You're there on the grass, you're shooting, and I'm thinking like, these will look okay, you know, because I know you do good work. But then I saw the photos and they were amazing.
Really?
They exceeded my expectations yet again.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, just right out of the freaking camera, you put them on. I guess you might do a little bit of processing just to, you know, but, because I was there watching you take the shots of the subject and I knew what you were taking pictures of. I knew the scooter looked cool, but then I saw the pictures and it looked even more cool. Wow. It was incredible.
Huh.
And I was thinking, like, this is why you pay a photographer to do this stuff. Because, like, I know how to press a button on a camera, you know, and, you know, I couldn't have gotten those results because I wouldn't have known how to do that.
Yeah.
So there's your kudos.
Awesome.
Kudos.
Yeah. So I threw a couple of my favorite shots up on Flickr and I said, we'll link through to that. So that was kind of exciting. And then another thing that's been really, really awesome that made my end of the year, I've worked a few times now with folk musician Hannah Sanders.
Yes.
She is from the UK. She lived in the US for a little while. And then a couple of years ago, she moved back to the UK. She's sort of put together her very first debut album. She's done some EPs and stuff. And I guess her family was a bunch of pretty popular folk musicians in the 70s and 80s.
Really?
Hmm. Anyway, she made this debut album, and we did a photo session the last time she was in town, which was back in August. And she saw the work, and she absolutely loved it. And she had mentioned how she wanted to take some of those images and send them off to the CD packaging company, and they were just kind of, she was just going to give them to them, and they were just going to mock up an album cover, you know? And when I heard that, I was just like, don't do that. I said, let me take a crack at it before you send the stuff in. And I sort of had an idea of where I wanted it to go. And like right away, I gave her just a quick sort of what the cover would look like. And she was like, oh my God, yes. So I spent August through, late November working on this album design, and I did the whole layout and the liner notes and the back and the front and everything like that. And I finally just got, a couple of weeks ago, she just sent me some copies in the mail, and it looks really nice. And I'm really happy because this is the first person to really put their trust in me, not only to take pictures of them that they're going to look good, but she was like, I want you to be in charge of designing the entire thing. Like, here's the whole package.
Yeah.
She's like, and I know you can do a good job, so let's see what you can do before I, and she was like, she's over the moon. And she was really, really happy. So I was really happy that, like, now I've got, and I've had musicians that have used pictures I've taken, you know, on the back cover or on the inside and stuff, but this is the first time where the entire visual package I got to put together.
And how did you feel about that?
I was very happy.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
I would say, Sid, that you are officially a graphic designer if you want to claim that title. Yeah, cause so there's your round of applause.
Yeah, so I was very happy about
that. Your work is really good. And you have the eye for the photo. All right, here's a secret that graphic designers don't want people to know. 75% of it is finding the right photo. I mean, if you just want to schlep your way through a design, find a nice photo, set some nice type next to it that's really small, and you're done.
Right.
Maybe you pick the right some fonts that go together and make sure everything's current and like the right stuff is there and it's lined up. But that's because you can do that. You can cut out the middleman.
Mm-hmm.
You can take the photos. You can capture your vision of what that person is, who that person wants to be. And then, you have such a deep understanding of, what CDs and albums are supposed to look like.
Right.
The good ones, the bad ones. You have, this history of it. And, other graphic designers, they may be into, comic book covers, or they might be into, classic cars and stuff like that. And they channel that stuff, and they put it into their work.
Yep.
And, you're probably one of the better ones that anyone's likely to come across.
Yeah.
I don't know what that, that field looks like, but,
Yeah, I've seen a lot of local home covers, and there's not a lot of thought that went into that.
Usually photographers and videographers and animators, they can't current type worth a damn. They don't care about this stuff.
And I think nowadays, especially now where everything has gone digital and, YouTube, iTunes, and everything is downloadable, I still think there's an important process to the whole presentation of something.
Yeah.
Physical products that look good and they're nice and they're going to last a long time. And,
right.
I think it's important.
Yeah, you should write that stuff down. Put it up someplace.
Yeah. I'm working on a blog post right now that once that album comes out, it's this whole here's where we started from and here's the 38 steps that we went from here to the final product with pictures along the way.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think that's going to look kind of nice. So it's been very creative for me. I've had a really good last few months just doing stuff. And then the Halo shoot that we kind of talked about the last time, that finally went up. Those images are up.
Oh, great.
And I'll link to those. And I was really happy with the way they looked.
Yeah.
And again, Jeff helped me out with that too.
He's everywhere.
He took some behind the, I love Jeff. So that was really good. And then I'll just skim through a lot of this stuff. So there was the Hannah Sanders thing. I want to wish a safe travels to our friend Martin Haysman.
Yes.
Who has been a local photographer. He also from the UK. He's lived over here for quite a while now. He does wedding photography and design. He just this Saturday, he packed up and he took the family and they're moving back to the United Kingdom. So safe travels for him. and he's going to be missed because I liked hanging around with him. He was a really nice guy.
Yep. He's super nice.
Yeah, real jolly British guy. Like, hello, I'm Martin Haseman. How are you?
He didn't talk like that.
He's kind of like Paddington Bear.
Yeah, it's like all friendly, large
hello,
British men
I'm
like, sound like have that voice. Right?
They have a soft British voice. Hello there, I'm Martin. Yep. So that was kind of nice. And then I got a free C-stand out of it because he forgot to pack it in the shipping container. And so he called me on Friday. And he was like, why don't you come over here and pick this up and you can take it. And I was like, yes. So my C-stands have now multiplied by 100%. So that's exciting. And so best wishes to Martin. And I think once he gets over there, he's going to sort of rebrand himself a little bit.
Oh, good. Yeah. Looking forward
yes.
to see what he does.
Yes. And then what seems like a Novatron fire sale. Novatrons are these studio lights that were big in the 80s. And I picked up a power pack. The Novatron's a lighting system for strobe lighting for photography. And I picked up a power pack, which is just sort of this large base unit that conducts the power. Okay. And then you plug in the head. So the power pack itself is feeding the light or the electricity to the heads rather than like Alien B units, which I use, which are the whole thing is encompassed inside the head itself where the light is.
Okay, yeah. Yep.
So I got that at a really nice price. I've been playing with that. And then just the other day, the same maker, Novatron, this woman had Novatron monolights, which are like Alien Bees where everything is self-contained inside the head itself.
Mm-hmm.
I got them for $10 a piece. And I was like,
wow.
Yeah, so.
I just bought some cheap lighting too.
So it's exciting. Within like the last 2 weeks, like I've got 7 new lights here that I can
use. Lights everywhere.
There's so much light now. There's the whole studio is filled with light. So that was kind of exciting. And oh my god, what else? And our friend Alan, Incubot Productions, the Firefly Serenity USB drive that we've been talking about for a long time. It's finally out, and you can get it through their website at Incubot, or you can get it at
ThinkGeek.com
has them in stock as well and stuff. So I was just showing Jeff the one that I got right before
gorgeous.
Christmas. It's really pretty. It's nice. It's all metal, and it's polished, and it's nice, and it lights up when you plug it in. And so that's exciting. Oh my gosh, what else? There's so much stuff.
You got about 10 minutes left.
What's going on? The New Hampshire Institute of Art is having their yearly Minumental project that's coming up.
What?
I'll provide a link. A Minumental.
What's a Minumental?
So all artwork has to be 4 inches squared and no larger.
Okay.
And then you hand them in and they hang up everything that's submitted and they have an opening and then every piece is $44.95. So it could be, you know, like 2D. It could be a small 4-inch 3D project. Whatever it is, every single piece of artwork is going to be under $50 that you can go in and buy and stuff. It used to be, all the previous years, the Minumental used to be 2 inches squared.
Yep.
But they've made it a little bigger this year.
It used to be $20?
No, it was still the same prices.
So you get more
you're getting
for your
more
money
real
time.
Estate for your money. More
wow,
for your money.
Like four times as much area.
Yeah, so I'll provide a link to that. The hand-in date for the projects are, I think, January 26th.
Huh. Are you going
to
do something?
I might. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah.
It
just made
but
me
I wanted
think of
to
squares of chocolate.
Yeah. So I wanted to throw that out. So much to throw out and stuff. I just got, right before Christmas, I got Criterion Collection, the movie company that puts out like deluxe editions of important films and stuff. They put out a coffee table book featuring, artwork through the Criterion label. And if you're into design at all, like it's worth picking that up just because Criterion design, the covers and stuff have always been really, really gorgeous.
Oh yeah.
And this book just covers all kinds of designs and just various versions of the designs and stuff that didn't get approved and stuff that was finally approved.
Nice.
It's really, really pretty. I don't know. I'll hand it over to you.
All right.
How are we on time?
We're about, I guess, 9 minutes ago. Yep.
Tell us about your tooth.
Oh yeah. Let's see. Like 3 years ago, I was going to this dentist, and I had this really difficult extraction there, and I kind of lost interest in dentistry for a while. And so there was this one tooth that was kind of bothering me, but I just let it go, and it just kind of rotted away.
Oh.
And so finally, it actually, over Christmas break, I think, the crown broke off of that tooth.
Oh.
And so now I have to get it replaced. Mm-hmm. Or I had to get the root extracted.
Ooh.
I just rotted out. It's on the same side that that's happened before.
Yeah.
And I figured, like, oh, we'll see what happens. Like, I've been doing some work for a company that does dental-related stuff, so I've been kind of aware of, like, what dental implants are. I've been kind of curious what they're like. You kind of be, like, a cyborg or something like a really lame one, but it's sort of like, there's a piece of titanium in my jaw. Cool. You know, the downside is it turns out it costs $5,000 to do this. So they drill the thing out, and then, like, because there's been bone loss around the site, they have to rebuild it, and they do that by putting in a bone grafting material that's, you know, made out of, some sort of purified, like, cadaver bone or something like this. And so your own bone grows around that, using that as a lattice structure to. But once that heals in 3 months, then they can plant the implant itself. And then Dr. Wiener can build the crown part, and it kind of goes on. So the advantage of the implant is that the foundation is in your jawbone, and it's firm, so you can still chew things.
Yes.
The other options are to build a bridge, which uses an existing tooth, and you know, another fake tooth hangs off of it, basically.
Oh,
but there's kind of a gap under it where your gum is. So, you know, it seems like a dumb idea.
Right.
It works, but... instead of doing the three-tooth one, they would have to do a two-tooth one. So it's basically like, if you imagine like a table, and then you have like a really long leaf on it.
Yeah.
So that doesn't seem like mechanically very, very strong.
Right.
And they had to shave down the existing tooth to sacrifice as the bridge. Or the cheapest option, I guess, is dentures. You know, and like... No. And so I decided, like, okay, $5,000 is like a pretty is a pretty decent kitchen upgrade.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
On the other hand, I wouldn't be able to eat anything and then really enjoy it. I was like, oh, let me chew carefully because I don't want my dentures to break.
Kitchen upgrade or drink through a straw for the remainder of your life.
So, and, you know, plus I'm kind of curious about this. I'm kind of wondering, like, because I'm doing this other design work, I wonder if I can expense part of it as I can go through the implant experience and then that will be better.
Exactly. You get how to do the design.
I think it's asking for trouble, but
it's too bad you couldn't like put something in it, like a little mini USB or like, you know some sort of top secret agent kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll ask Dr. Wiener what he thinks.
There
about
you go.
That. I think he would just make.
So
fun
is
of
this
me.
Like they just drill it right in?
Yeah,
is it like a tooth with a drill bit underneath it, and they just kind of like,
as Dr. Wiener described it, it is basically a wood screw that you put in your mouth with like a post on the end of it.
That's crazy.
And then they hammer on this other thing and it fuses.
Okay.
But the thing is, like, if there's a problem with it, they can actually just remove it and then fix it
and replace
put it back on.
That's crazy.
It kind of is like being a cyborg,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Or you could just, you know, get a gold tooth.
No, because they would have to... actually, you're right. I could get a gold.
I want to see a Dave Say grill right on the front. Just gold things all over there and just be like, what's up, Dave Say? Look at my grill. Then you'd have to get into rap music. And
well, okay, we're off. That's an interesting idea, Sid.
DJ Say, yo, man. Check out my grill. Look at my grill. Look at my grill. Gold. And it would just say S-E-A-H on the front. Just say.
Yeah, and then I could have my fists. They could have, like, Dave!
Yes, you could have the rings and say D-A-V-E and S-E-A-H on them. Yeah. Oh, look at you are a rap star in the making.
No, I'm not.
I can't wait. It'd be amazing.
Yeah. I should have you sing the jingles, though. You just remind me that. The other day, during a business summit thing, I've been thinking about, like, what... I've been wanting to experiment with solo podcasts, but... But I'm obsessed about, like, well, what would the intro music be? Because I would want to use different intro music because this is a different podcast. So yes. I was going through one of those stock photo sites just listening to things. And then Sid was there and he just started like freestyle rapping. he would just like come up with jingles. Like,
you like that, didn't you?
That was great. I mean, we should just like just spend a day doing that. We get one of those CDs of
DJ Say.
Yeah. So
excellent.
That's on my mind.
Good.
Do something like that. Yeah. Let's have a different outlet.
How long do you think those would be?
I don't know.
Like
5 minutes.
Like a little 5 minutes, tip of the day kind of thing.
Yeah, at this stage, what I really wanted to do is just like is perfect a lot of really small things. I didn't have time to go into it, but like one of the things for this year, for 2015, is to break open those boxes of time I've been hoarding and then start experiencing them moment by moment.
Yep.
And like one of the big challenges of becoming an excellent designer, an excellent craftsperson, is you got to master all these tiny little things.
Yep.
And I want them done now, but you can't have them now. You're going to spend like those 20 hours like, okay, I made a perfectly round thing that's supposed to go in this other thing.
Yep.
You know, I couldn't make that before because I didn't have the tools or experience, but... Well, we'll talk about that next time.
Yes.
You know, in the summer, whenever we do one of these things again. So that's the podcast. I'm designer Dave Say.
I'm photographer Sid Caesar. And we will see you all later.
Later.
Much sooner than previous later. since we'll get back into our schedule again. Music is so loud. Stop the music. The music that was provided by Michael Bellar and the Ez Ensemble. Visit him at michaelbellar.com. Give me love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Thanks for Dave. Thanks to Jeff for listening to us.
Yep.
Sitting here giggling.